If we haven't had a chance to meet before, my name is Joe and I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to continue in a series that we've been doing called Selfless. And honestly, this teaching is actually kind of a series of teachings. So we actually opened up the year with a conversation called From Self to Sacrifice, where we really took a look at a lot of the different ways in which our culture can basically do what we wanna do. We can basically be who we wanna be, and within reason, we can kind of have what we wanna have. And yet our culture, our society at large, the statistics continue to show over and over again that anxiety, depression, and unhappiness are starting to skyrocket. And so this on paper math where we can figure out, well, I can pursue all the happiness I want, but then how does that line up with the results I'm getting continues to be a conundrum. And so Pastor Jeff walked us through how Jesus actually teaches against the complete opposite of all of these ways in which we would pursue ourselves and try to make ourselves happy to actually show us something that is much deeper, much richer, and much more satisfying. So if you haven't had a chance to hear those weeks of teaching, I highly recommend you go back and do that. Check out our podcast, it's online and all the rest. And if you're newer to Grace, know that this conversation I think will be fine and great for you today, but there's a lot of context that I think would be very, very helpful for you as well. Last week, as we start this series called Selfless, Pastor Jeff helped us start to see what does that selfless mindset start to look like practically? How does this show up in our daily life? How does this show up in the different areas where we're navigating this on the regular? And so we actually helped us kind of land on this phrase that the calling of Jesus is going to be living out his teaching and his heart in real time, kind of regardless of the personal or social consequences in my life. Jesus is often going to show us something that's upside down, something that's against the grain, something that's not going to be the normal flow of the culture. And it's because he knows, and if we're honest with ourselves, we know that if we just kind of stay in step with the way that society continues to go, we're not going to find what we're looking for. Our hearts are going to be clamoring for something better, something else, something deeper. And Jesus knows that, partly because he created us and wired us, but partly because we're missing what he's going after. Now this week, we're gonna discuss a particular topic that I think impacts all of us, and honestly, that all of us probably need to make sure that we're constantly recentering around Jesus' heart and teaching. This week, we're actually gonna talk about the concept of dating. Okay, so we're gonna talk about dating. Now, some of you were just like, why did I come? I'm not sure why I'm here right now, partly because you don't wanna hear it, maybe partly because like I'm married, like unless this gets really awkward between the two of us, I don't plan on dating anytime in the near future. But here's this. How many of us are dating, right? Okay, so we're covering that pool. How many of you would like to maybe in the future date someone? Okay, cool, we kind of covered that arena. How many of you have a loved one that's dating someone or would like to date someone? Okay, that just broadened the pool quite a bit. How many of us are married and we're probably out of rhythm? And you've probably heard the cliche of like, you should keep dating your partner forever. But we kind of need some of that advice because this applies to marriage as well. How many of you have ever been asked your opinion on dating or who they should be seeing or all the rest, or given unsolicited advice to people who are dating someone else about who or how they should be interacting with those relationships? Or let me put it to you this way. How many of us are ever absorbing any type of media that gives some type of relationship advice, right? And so maybe as you think about the way in which our culture works, like maybe you've watched the How I Met Your Mothers, or you've watched the New Girls, you've watched the Scrubs or the Friends, you know about the Dwight and Angela saga, you know who Date Mike is, nice to meet me. You know who all the celebrities and the who's with who's, and you know all of that kind of stuff. You follow the Instagram advice on relationships, right? Or maybe it's none of that, but you're just specifically, you know all the apps and the swipe this, swipe that, and our culture is completely inundated. See what I did there? Inundated, okay. We're completely inundated, seriously, with cultural interpretations and roadmaps on relationships. And while most of us may not be looking toward a lot of those things as like the pinnacle of where we should land with dating, probably very few of us are thinking we wanna be like Barney Stinson or like Michael Scott. At the same time, when we absorb the culture's ideas of relationships and dating, what's happened is subconsciously we're absorbing different levels of what's normal. And so whether it's our own experience or it's our loved one's experience, we start to say like, well, that's just how it works. And we start to go down this pathway of, well, you can have what you want, do what you want, and be what you want, and we'll see if that works out. But again, we continue to find ourselves, even in relationships, not finding the happiness that we're looking for. That's why it's one of the biggest industries in our market. That's why things like domestic violence have been continually on the rise over the last 25 years. And again, that's why anxiety, depression, and unhappiness are statistically through the roof, because we continue to seek after something that's not actually helpful, and it's certainly not the way in which God is trying to illustrate and lead us towards life. And so this weekend, where I want to kind of land us all is this idea that dating matters because our closest relationships significantly impact our lives for better or for worse. And so if we are not specific, if we are not intentional, and honestly, if we're not engaging what God has for us, we're going to miss the boat at best or find ourselves in a lot of hurt at worst. I wish I would have had much more counsel as I was much younger. When I had my my first two-week girlfriend in seventh grade, I'm pretty sure she just wanted to be my boyfriend or girlfriend. Yeah, pronouns. So, but you know how that works. So she, I sang I Swear in the seventh grade talent show and wooed all the girls. At least her, for 2 weeks. And so I wish I would have had more dating advice, or honestly, even in college, early in college, I was dating an older woman. I was probably about 20 years old. She was 25. And so she had life figured out. You know, she was completely established, completely. And about a couple months into our relationship, she's like, Joe, I want to marry you. And I was like, man, you must know what you're talking about. I mean, you're like fully established as an adult. And then a week later, she broke up with me. And so I just didn't know how all this shook out. And this was a big deal because not only was I in the yo-yos of short relationships here and there, but also because I was obsessed with the concept of dating. I was always thinking about who am I going to date? Who can I date? Who am I eventually going to marry one day? Like, I always wanted to know. I was just obsessed with those thought patterns. I mean, I was the guy, I had lists. You know, I'm like, well, I like this girl and she's cute and she's funny and this, that, and the other. And even as I got into college, I would start looking around. I started attending church early on in college. And so I'd be like, well, there's these girls at the church. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe. And I don't know. And then I'm like, well, not her. I asked her out. She said no. I asked her out, she said no, copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste. Like that just kept happening over and over, but I was obsessed with this idea of finding the someone. And then I remember all of a sudden, I remember getting to this point, and I actually vividly remember telling God, I remember just kind of telling him, you know what, God? If I end up being single for the rest of my life, as long as you're in it, I'm good with that. And I wasn't trying to get there. I didn't like set myself out on a path. It's like, you know, I hope I would be content if I end up being single for the rest of my life. And yet I found myself there. So as I was reflecting on that this week, because if you don't know me at all, one day I did meet someone and I am married now, but I was reflecting back and I think I saw this convergence of some things happening in my life that were actually very simple. And you see, those first few years of college, when I decided to follow Jesus, I started to run after him as fast as I knew how. I really dug into everything I could. I was reading the scripture as much as I could. I was in different groups. I was helping out around and serving and doing all these different things. And I was just like, Jesus, I want more of you. And I think the byproduct of that was a contentment, a satisfaction, a fulfillment that I didn't even know I would discover, but that actually made me comfortable in who I was, not needing someone else to fill in all the gaps in my life. And now fast forward, as I understand the faith a little bit better and I understand my own relationship with God a little bit better, what I'm realizing is that Jesus says stuff like that all the time. And so he says things like in Matthew 6, he says, seek first the kingdom above all else, right? Seek first the ways of God, the ways in which he leads us, the ways in which God is establishing things, and live righteously, walk in step with him, and he will give you everything you need. And in that moment, when I was early in college, I found myself, as much as humanly possible, I was doing everything I could to walk in step with God. I was doing everything I could to seek him first, and I found myself truly feeling, experiencing this reality that I felt like I had everything I needed. When God is at the center, he provides the connection and the exploration and the social interaction and the self-discovery and the fun and even the future planning that we're often looking for when it comes to a dating relationship. Now, this week, I had the chance to kind of go to a mini training, and there was a woman that shared there, and she was sharing about some of her interaction with a particular chapter in the scripture, and it hit me right where I needed to be hit, because about a week ago, as I was preparing for this week's teaching, I just did not like where my thoughts and notes were shaping up. I was very uncomfortable with it, and it was kind of like the equivalent of a spiritual writer's block. I just kind of, like, man, I just don't like where this is headed. And then I sat under this training, and as she was explaining her process with this scripture, I felt like the Lord was just like, Joe, this is why you were stuck here, because I actually want you to share a part of this. So I'm actually going to walk through, of course, I walked through it and prayed through, and I felt like we have some good stuff here, but I'm going to share a little bit with what she shared this week. It was really, really, really helpful, and for any of you that are like, Joe, that's plagiarism. Okay, first of all, I'm not being graded, so, but second of all, she actually said at the end of her talk, it's okay if you have to use this with someone else because it's not plagiarism. It's all from the Holy Spirit anyway. And so I was like, I like you. You're fun. So, but if you have a Bible with you, open up to Psalm 23. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 23. If you don't have a Bible with you, I'll encourage you to click open a Bible app or even Google Psalm 23. Let me give you a little bit of bonus here. I can't encourage you enough to be a person who gets into the Bible yourself. The number one thing over and over and over again that helps people grow spiritually, that helps people feel closer and closer to God, that helps them discover the heart of Jesus more and more is a consistency, right? Doesn't have to be perfect, but just a consistency in getting into the scripture yourself. Let God interact with you. Right? And so get into the scripture. That's why we say things like open up your Bibles or open up your phones, at least get to a place where you're looking at the words yourself and interacting with it. God wants to speak to your heart as well. Okay, that's bonus. You can have that for free. Okay, so Psalm chapter 23, in verse 1, it says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." Now, this psalm was written by David, and he was a shepherd, like an actual, shepherd staff with sheep shepherd, right? And so when he describes God as a shepherd, he knows what a shepherd is, right? And so he knows that a shepherd is attentive to the needs and the struggle of their sheep. He knows that when a sheep is wandering off, what to do with the wandering off sheep. He knows when the sheep are hungry to get them to a different pasture. He knows how to be attentive to what's going on. And so when he calls God a shepherd, what he's saying is God is a good shepherd, and God knows what it takes to care for his sheep, to care for his people, to make sure that they have everything that they need. And if you don't have what you think you need, maybe you don't need it when you're walking with the shepherd. In the same way that the sheep might be grazing on a certain pasture, and if they had the brain capacity to think, you know, this grass is going to run out today, I'm not sure what we're going to do tomorrow, the shepherd knows how to lead them to the next pasture. The shepherd knows what's going on there, so the sheep trust that as long as I'm in the care of the shepherd, I will have what I need. And this goes far beyond food, water, and shelter. It's everything. As we'll discover more and more, it's our relational needs. It's our connection needs. It's our need to belong. Verse 2 says that he lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams. You see, the shepherd knows where the rare fields of green are among the rocky cliffs. He knows where the fields are when there's a valley of sand over here. He knows how to navigate where to get to. He will lead you to where the green meadows are, because again, a shepherd is there to care for their sheep. The shepherd is not there going like, ha, 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 today the sheep are gonna starve. That's foolish. The shepherd knows where to lead them, how to lead them, and what they need the most. And I love this, that he also leads us beside these streams, right? These peaceful streams. God knows that life is chaotic. God knows that so many of us are bouncing from one thing to the next over and over. Even right now, you're like, what do I have to do later today? What is gonna happen? Like, we can't help ourselves, but we go, 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 go. And our shepherd knows, let me lead you to a stream where you can rest and be nourished and know that you have, again, what you need. He knows our default is the opposite of that. And so if we're feeling anxious about our relationships, if we're feeling anxious about the one that we hope to find someday, I believe that our shepherd is saying, do not fear, allow me to help you find the calm and the rest in this process. I will lead you where you need to go. Verse 3 says that he renews my strength, that he guides me along right paths in bringing honor to his name. You ever feel like your soul needs some kind of restoration? That just inside of you, like something is damaged or broken or has been neglected? You need like some kind of version of a spiritual Chip and Joanna to come in and like have a demo day on your soul and just like put some shiplap up and you're like, now feeling pretty good. Listen, when God moves in, he makes every space his own. He makes it a whole new soul, shaping it, shaping us into the types of people that we maybe couldn't even dream of, where he begins to instill his character, his flair, his ideas into the very fabric of who we are. And suddenly his character, his honor, his love, his peace, his joy, right? The patience, the strength begins to take up residence within inside of us. When we allow him to have the reins, when we allow him to be the shepherd, what he does inside of us is far better than anything that we could actually build for ourselves. We realize that in chaos, he's our provider. We realize that when it comes to the people that we see as our enemies, that he's our protector. We realize that we can be patient because of what he's instilling into us. He leads us down pathways that are good. He leads us down pathways where maybe we begin to see the people that we're around, that we're interested in, that we're attracted to, that we want to date, that we want to be with. He helps us to navigate those relationships. Let me take up residency in your soul. Let me show you what is good and nourishing. Verse 4 continues, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. I love a subtle shift here. David shifts from using words like he to refer to God. Now he's using the words you. It's getting very personal. You see, David knows that he's gonna be the closest to God when he's in the darkest, hardest spots. Because very, very few people, when things are going great, do we run to someone that could be helpful? When things are going great, we're actually not that prone to run to God because we almost forget that we need him. Things are going fine, things are going great. And so we stop running towards him and instead we find ourselves being a little bit self-sufficient, and God is saying, you can't find the navigation of life, the right paths without your shepherd. So when we're in the darkest valleys, when we're in the places that are hard, it's actually a great moment. This is what David is saying, for me to remember that life doesn't always have the pastures of green. Life isn't always wonderful and still. Sometimes I need to completely depend on my heavenly Father, on my shepherd. And I find it fascinating here that he says, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Your rod and your staff. If we think about the tools of a shepherd, your rod would be like that long stick that has a pointy end on it, almost like a spear, where he's protecting his sheep from outside threats. So as wolves would come, as thieves would come, he has something to protect his sheep from something that's coming to try to harm his care. But that staff is what we would stereotypically think of. It's the hooked staff to protect the sheep from themselves. When they stumble into a crevice and they're able to hook them and pull them back out, when they're able to keep them from something that will harm them. You see, when it comes to our lives, yes, there are things on the outside, but there are also things on the inside. Yes, sometimes when it comes to dating and relationships, there are other people that hurt us. But if we'll allow our shepherd to take his role, he can protect us from people that intend to cause us harm. But we know sometimes it's our own temptations, our own inclinations, our own misgivings that can get ourselves in trouble. And if we'll allow our shepherd to do what he is completely wired and capable of doing, he will protect us from ourselves. You see, when we're walking with the shepherd, even through the valley of the shadow of death, we can trust that our shepherd wants to protect us, to pull us back, to bring us to those green pastures, to keep those threats from harming us. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings." Why on earth are we having a feast in the presence of our enemies? And what does that reveal about God? I think it's important to realize here that there's an invitation from God to become one of his children. There's an open invitation from God to be adopted as a son, to be adopted as a daughter of our Creator. But that invitation has to be accepted. You see, there are certain promises of the scripture that only apply to those that have chosen to say, "You're my shepherd." A shepherd will only protect the sheep that are in his flock. The shepherd is not there to protect the crows. The shepherd is not there to protect the wolves. The shepherd is there to protect his sheep. And so when we begin to understand the blessings of what it looks like to be under the care of the shepherd, it's actually important that those that are not yet a part of the family see the difference of what it looks like to actually be under the care of the shepherd, so that those wandering sheep might one day say, "I need a shepherd. I need to see the difference. I need what you have." And you see, that's part of what this imagery of being anointed with oil means. It means to be set apart for something special, set apart for a certain purpose. You see, because as one of God's sheep, you have a purpose. You have a unique place in this world to show the rest of the world the goodness of the shepherd. And so when we think about our relationships, when we think about our dating, is the sheep's purpose just to simply be a sheep and interact with other sheep, or is the sheep's purpose to begin to shed light on the goodness of the shepherd? And we think about our relationships, we start asking ourselves questions. How do I reflect the goodness and the grace and the mercy? How do I reflect the character of God? How do I reflect what he's doing inside of me to this other person? How do I show others his love? How do I show others his kindness? How do I point them to the shepherd? Because you see, our culture is like, no, you gotta do what makes you happy. No, you gotta do, and we stop thinking about how not only do we care about the other person because we're so focused on getting cared for ourselves, but we completely forget the fact that we could be one of the most greatest examples to this person about how to show them the thing that we all need the most, which is our Heavenly Father and Shepherd. Verse 6 wraps up the chapter and says, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." What I think is funny a little bit about this verse is it sounds like a little bit of a wedding vow. You can sit standing there across the aisle from your potential significant other and say, "Surely your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in your house forever." If you're about to get married, that could be creative. I'm just saying, could be fun. But here's the thing. If we put that level of pressure on anyone, it's actually one of the most unloving things we could ever do. All I need for you to be is perfect, and this will last. All I need for you to do is fill all of the gaps I have in my life. All I need for you to do is make sure that my life goes swimmingly and that I always feel loved. All I need for you to do is be God, and we'll be just fine. You see, over and over in Scripture, God is trying to show us and remind us that there's only one that can have the role. There's only one that can fill in all the longings of our soul, and that is our Savior, that is our Creator. Only God Himself, only our Heavenly Father, the one that is the definition of goodness, the one that exudes unfailing love, only that God can help us to feel pursued and engaged and loved and connected all the days of our life. But you see, if we run from the shepherd, if we're trying to escape the care of the shepherd, and especially if we're not trying to find those characteristics in someone else, we are setting ourselves up for failure, and we are pigeonholing them into a role of failure. But God, in His unfailing goodness and love, we can be assured of being in His house with Him forever. There is so much to continue to learn and engage in the Scripture about who God is and about how He's pulling us in and how He wants to meet the very core of the needs that many of us struggle with on a daily basis. But too many times, especially when we think about relationships, we're looking for quick hits. We're looking for quick tips. Just tell me what to do. Tell me what not to do. Tell me who not to sleep with or when to sleep with. Tell me how to engage this relationship. Tell me the attitude to have. How many times do I have to pray a certain prayer before you'll deliver that person into my life? How many times do I have to do the dishes before she finally is the wife that I wish she was? How many times can he? We're just over and over looking for the tips. If you would just give me the surface answer that will fix everything, that'd be great. Too many times, whether we realize it or not, those are the questions we're asking. But we're looking for pointers when God is trying to breathe life. God is trying to call us into something transformative. God is trying to invite us into something that turns our lives upside down. God is trying to invite us into something where we don't have to depend upon the execution of someone else for our own happiness. We don't have to worry about how good they are at their relationship to find worth. We don't have to worry about how much they meet our needs to find validation. God is saying the source of life is here, beckoning you in, inviting you in to be a son, to be a daughter. Can we stop looking for tips? He wants to guide us. He wants to show us who He is. You see, if you're single, I think the Lord is your shepherd and you have everything you need. The who's, the when's, the if's. If we begin to find ourselves walking more and more in step with God, you will find what you're looking for in Him. If you're dating, He will help you rest in green meadows and lead you to peaceful waters. He will lead you through the chaos. He will lead you through the struggles. He will lead you through the challenges. He will help you know whether or not to continue on with that person or not. If you're dating again, He will renew your strength. As you find yourself closer and closer to your shepherd, your cup will overflow. And you will no longer find yourself reeling from the gaps in your life, but instead realize that there is only one that meets what I so desperately need and am longing for, and whatever version of grief has led you to this place. And if you're not even thinking about dating right now, when we're running to the Father, it's in Christ that we know that we're his child, that you are adopted into his family. You can have all the confidence of being an heir of our Creator, the confidence of knowing that you have his unfailing love, knowing that he pursues you forever and ever to be with him in his house for eternity. He guides us to the who, he guides us to the how, he guides us what to do, what not to do, what is good for you, what is not. He protects us from what will harm us, even if it's ourselves. You see, when it comes to dating, what if, and this is crazy, what if it was less about how we should go about finding a mate and more about what life would look like if we actually found ourselves walking with God? What if we discovered that we have everything and maybe even everyone that we need, and that that would actually position you to be the best friend, potentially the best dating partner, potentially the best spouse, best parent, best kid ever? What if walking with God closely, interacting with him as your shepherd, is what prepares you for whatever role you get to add on to your life? So I wrote this down. What if we stopped looking for ourselves and instead started looking for God? What if, as we engage the scripture, we stopped asking the question, God, how can you bless me, help me, do this for me? What if we stopped reversing the roles and said, God, I need you to show up on my life or else? What if we stopped looking to God saying, I need you to do this or I'm done with you? We start to interact with God as if we're in control. And we look through these ancient pages and we look through the scriptures, and one of the reasons we'll have such a hard time reading through the Bible is because we're looking for ourselves when the book is all about who he is. The Bible is all about understanding the character and the wonder and the person of God. When we think of our faith and we pick up the Bible, if we stopped asking how God was going to bless us, but instead we started realizing that what God is doing is always a blessing, we would jump on board with him every time. Here's some homework. I want you to read Ecclesiastes 2, or maybe even the whole book. This king, and by the whole book, I mean all of Ecclesiastes. Read the Bible this week, all of it. You have a king at the very, very top, rich, wealthy, lavished in everything that man could ever run after. And this whole book is about how he's discovering that all of it is meaningless if you're not walking with God. This last week, the person that I heard from that kind of walked through their version of Psalm 23 has the number one podcast on Apple Podcasts. Do you know what the number one podcast on Apple Podcasts is? It's called The Bible Recap. It is a daily 6 to 8 minute recap. If you're reading through the Bible on a daily basis, let's break down some of what you read. It's the number one podcast on Apple Podcasts. This woman is in her mid-40s. She's single, she's never been married. And I was reading through the transcript of someone interviewing her on a podcast, and she was talking about how she was increasingly frustrated with the whole thing, with the whole process. Dating, trying to find someone, and even on it, she was very honest, I was very frustrated with God. Well, as she started this podcast about 6 years ago, and she's getting more and more into the scripture on a regular basis, which it all started with just, I want to help some of my friends read through the Bible, because she kept hearing that her friends were getting stuck in Exodus and Leviticus, where Bible reading plans go to die. And she's like, let's walk through this. And as she read more and more through the scripture, and she found herself more and more enamored, more and more just in awe of who God was, she eventually got to the place where she just asked God, God, do I have to keep doing this? Do I have to keep giving myself to the dating game? Do I have to keep giving myself that I won't be complete until I find a husband? Do I have to keep finding the person to make myself complete? And she just straight up felt like God actually just spiritually nudged her and said, no, you don't have to do that. And she said she felt this overwhelming relief, this overwhelming calm, and she actually started to pursue what she calls intentional singleness. Now she's open, you know, if all of a sudden she would meet someone and it would work out, but she's no longer focused on that. And she would say that ever since then, she's been able to focus on things like never before and has found more joy in her journey than she's ever discovered. Because she realized that being connected to someone else is actually not the purpose of life. Being connected to someone else is not where you find your identity. The healthiest dating relationships and the healthiest marriage are two people that realize that God is their provider, that God is the one that makes them whole, and they get to walk through it together. They don't need each other, they want to be together. There's a very, very big difference. And in the coming weeks, Pastor Jeff will be opening up a conversation about marriage as well. But in the scriptures, are we looking for that God? Are we looking for the one that can bring satisfaction to our soul? To realize that when we seek him first, when we realize he's the shepherd and the provider that gives us every need, will we realize that we actually do have a soulmate out there, but his name is Jesus? That instead of looking for the person that's our match, instead of looking for the person that can make us whole, do we realize that that's exactly who Jesus claims to be and continues to be for so many? The scripture says there is more in you than you can possibly imagine when you allow the Holy Spirit to draw it out. There's exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine, but it depends on walking with the Spirit of God. There is so much inside of you that God wants to bring out. There is so much inside of you that God wants to draw out. There is so much connection that he wants you to experience with him, but we have to be looking for him. And you see, this frees us both in and outside of our relationships. Because when you're single or dating again, or even if you're just giving advice, we need to know that running to Jesus is the hinge point on which everything else hangs. Jesus says to love God and reflect that love to other people, and the rest of all that God has ever taught hangs on those two things. He said, as we read earlier, to seek first his kingdom and all of this will be added to you as well. When Jesus is first, I don't need someone else to validate me. When Jesus is first, I don't need someone else to fulfill me. When Jesus is first, I don't need someone else to make me feel connected. I already have it. I already have him. And then I can reflect those things to other people. I can reflect and help someone else realize that you can find your validation that you're longing for so deeply in your shepherd. I can reflect that you can find that connection and that encouragement in him, because when I'm connected to Jesus and I'm walking with him, my cup overflows. And I can help others begin to experience even a glimpse of what I'm starting to discover. I can leave selfishness behind and begin to embrace a selflessness. You see, dating matters, because our closest relationships significantly impact our lives, and there is no one better than Jesus. There are a ton of principles and tips that are rooted in the person of Jesus that we could go over about dating and marriage, tons. There are so many passages of scripture that will help us navigate healthy relationships. There are so many passages that help us understand what it looks like to not only love and what it means to be loved, but how to reflect that into the source of his love. There's so much in there. And honestly, that's why we have certain groups and classes here at the church. It's not just to fill up classrooms. It's to give you the resources that you need to see how God, your shepherd, is trying to lead you beside the green meadows and the streams of peace. But without this foundation, you're gonna miss the point. Without this foundation, you're gonna miss the depth of joy. You're gonna miss the depth of love that God created you for. This is the greatest gift. These lead you to a pathway of life, and they will equip you for any relationships that come our way. I would beg you to turn to Jesus. I would beg you to embrace him as your shepherd, to discover and rediscover over and over and over who he is, and through that lens, who you are. Stop looking for you and start looking for God. And let him lead you down the right paths towards life. The band's gonna come out and create some space for us. And I think it's really important because each and every person is being hit by this in a very, very unique way. We're all in different places when it comes to relationships. We all bring different baggage to the conversation. We all bring different levels of understanding. And so my assumption is that God is actually meeting you right where you're at. My assumption is that God is starting to nudge you in a way that maybe you didn't think you'd be nudged when you walked in here this morning. You definitely didn't think we'd be talking about dating, and yet here God is doing his thing. So would you take some time and space just to begin to maybe yield to your shepherd? To yield to him and say, I trust that you know where the grass is. I trust that you know where the water is. I trust that you know what will harm me. I trust that you know what's good for me. Will you help me to begin consistently walking with you? Would you pray with me? Father God, we need you. You are our provider. We have nothing without you. And even when we don't realize that, your goodness and your grace are the things that sustain us. God, for some of us, this is an intriguing conversation. For others of us, this is a very hard conversation. But for each and every one, you are a loving shepherd inviting us in to feel the care and the comfort and the provision of all that you are. So God, even this morning, help us to realize more and more who you are. Even this morning, help us to feel more at peace with walking in step with you. God, and as we continue to process in these moments, to pray and even worship, would you begin to meet us in this space and consistently let us walk alongside you? In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.